Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
And good morning, it's Dan Malecki here filling in for Warren Huntley, who will be back next Sunday. He's $1.04 to fill the chair for next week. We're reviewing Moonee Valley yesterday. They raced on a soft five. The rail was out 3 metres. They dodged a bullet with the rain. There was plenty of it that came a little bit later on, but we'll get an idea of how the boys think that the track played on a day that Jamie Carr capped off a remarkable season with the riding honours and a double yesterday. Good morning, firstly to you, Dean Lester. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, hello, Dan.
The track yesterday, we end up with a soft five. Worrying about the reports of the weather forecasts. Probably a lot of people didn't know whether to plan for a soft six or anywhere to a heavy eight, depending on what happened with that rain. But how did you see the track playing? We ended up on that soft five.
Yeah, I think ultimately we're getting closer to a four, really, Dan. The track played, really well. It really came down to tempo of races. We saw, you just spoke to Nick Ryan, Muhammad Ayes for the first time in about six runs got in a decently run race, and he was able to come from off the speed, as was on Thunderstruck, again in a reasonable speed. But then a race like the last, they absolutely, you know, for a sprint race, they absolutely walked, and the first two in running ran 1-2. So really came down to tempo.
Well, Brendan Delaney joins us. Good morning, Brendan. As I say, we know how good you are as a tipster. You can tip the whole program. Any chance that you might add another feather to your cap, maybe as a Weather Bureau forecaster? We need someone accurate there.
No, that's well and truly out of my forte, but if the wind was anything to go by, I'm surprised it didn't get to a good four yesterday at Moonee Valley. If the wind was like it was sort of around, you know, the western side of Melbourne, Geelong and the Werribee area yesterday, if it was similar at the Valley, I know there's a few more wide open spaces there, it was surprising it didn't get towards a good four, and we're just waiting on that rain, and it obliged it. Probably you would have got soaked walking to the car had it been a normal Saturday, so at a arrived just after the last race, but all in all, they got a little bit wrong. They said it'd rain. It ended up raining, but just not in time for those that played for the wet track. But that was yesterday. We're looking forward to a good day today. That meeting at Sandown's a cracker with the three really good jumps races.
Yeah, and I'll get your thoughts later, guys, and indeed if you have any good things at our two Victorian venues, Sandown and Donald, today. So keep that in mind, and it's okay to say no if you don't like anything as well. First race on the card, guys, it was a good start to the day for Rock Artist, the gelded son of Wangina, who made it 2 out of 2 this prep.
And Wonder Legend, I Am Warren Frost in the last one. Jigsaw about to go after the leader, Rock Artist, as they turn, and Lloyd's Crown still there. Three wide, favourite under pressure. A length and a half too direct, and then square cut around the bend. The leader is Rock Artist. Jigsaw doing plenty of work, moves up and claims him now. Running on direct behind those, and further back, Lloyd's Crown, Jigsaw, Rock Artist. Direct's coming at the pair quickly. Jigsaw flatters attack. Rock Artist in front. Direct lunging with Jigsaw. Rock Artist in front. Rock Artist all the way has won from Direct and Jigsaw, then Montana Flash, Wonder Legend, Lloyd.
Geez, he can make his own luck, this fellow. Imagine one day when he draws a gate, Dean.
Well, I suppose, Dan, but you know, he's a high speed horse, and he's, you know, he can begin and roll across. You know, I'm not so fussed about the draw, because he's a high speed horse. I think he'd be better when he can get around a corner a bit better. He wanted to lay out around the home turn, and probably didn't help Jigsaw in that regard, because Jigsaw was getting pressure from the outside with Lloyd's Crown and having Rock Artist roll out onto him. And I don't think he got the smoothest of runs, but all honours with the winner. He fought hard. Direct had a beautiful run. He had the sit right on them, and I thought he was probably the winner in the run, and he's run very well. I wasn't that disappointed in Jigsaw. I think it's always very hard when you've got pressure either side of you, and especially one coming out and one coming in. They weren't actually directly holding their lines, so I think Jigsaw ran quite well with the big weight, and Montana Flash, he closed nicely as well. So, yeah, it was a pretty good race to start the program, but he is a very good fighter, Rock Artist.
Yeah, he doesn't like horses getting past him. Brendan, Direct travelled really well coming up to the home turn. He found the line pretty well, but it seemed to take him 100 metres before he really balanced up another stride, and he would have won it.
Yeah, another stride's all he needed, but in-play runners definitely would have been on him with the pressure that was there from Jigsaw in the middle with Lloyd's Crown and Rock Artist either side. Great to see Craig Newitt back riding winners in town. It's a bit of a trademark from him now, the way he's firing them out of the gates and really revving them and getting across. He's doing it all over the state and really controlling race as well from the front. Rock Artist good in doing it yesterday, as Dean touched on with Jigsaw. I think he did a tremendous job, not to just throw the toys out the cot if he really wanted to with the pressure he was copping there in between those two horses. Montana Flash, I thought, run well. One horse I'm really forgiving on debut was Wonder Legend. I think the last 100 metres of Wonder Legend's race was really good. Got back, had nothing to cart into the race, and he was just left sort of standing still when the first three were really building up their revs, and I thought his work through the line was really adequate for a horse having its first start. But Rock Artist was pretty tough after working hard off the gate.
A post-race endoscopy of a square cut detected a degree of mucus, which may have affected the horse's racing performance. Dean, one horse wouldn't mind an opinion of. Frosten seemed disappointing. Anything there that you saw?
Not really, Dan. He'd come into the preparation. He'd been gelded since his last campaign, and he was back and wide. And whether this race we had the on-paces obviously run very well on those cutting through, and he made more of the looping run, but still thought he'd go a little bit better the last 100 metres. Probably want to see him again maybe on a bigger track, but jury out on Frosten after that run. His win last preparation was at Bendigo. So
Jigsaw, we know, is a pretty handy horse, so can we expect horses like Direct, who's competed well at a good level, and Rock Artist to step up to better company?
Well, you can tell with the probably the placement by the trainers. You know, Lloyd Kendall's placed Direct very aggressively all the way through, and he's certainly showing that sort of talent. And Rock Artist started his career with a good run in town at Moonee Valley, and then had a poor run, was gelded, and has come back with two wins. So, there's obviously an opinion held of him. And the Keys stable have had good success in the Mitchell McKenzie in recent years, of course, winning it with Richard Huff, and I think Freedom Move ran well in it last year. So I think they'll be aiming that way with a horse like Rock Artist.
Race number two was over the 1,000 metres for the fillies.
Zapateo. The others need to get moving, headed by Duchy of Savoy, and then came Tycoon Hummer, who's starting to make ground as they wheel the bend. Chimes just in front. Sweet Mary, the outside, going after her. Frostflowers under pressure. Here's Zapateo coming with a run, and further back, Her Empire. Sweet Mary hits the lead. Zapateo's the challenger. Her Empire getting up on the fence, but Zapateo swept to the lead at the 100, raced away from Sweet Mary, Her Empire. Zapateo in front, and Zapateo will win from Her Empire. Sweet Mary third, Duchy of Savoy.
Brendan, how'd you see this race?
Speed was okay from Chimes, Frost Flowers, and Sweet Mary eventually making it a line of three, but this was just a wonderful ride from Damien Oliver. He knew the horse he wanted to be on the back of. He was midfield between horses. When they came through the gap, he was really angling out to be on the back of Sweet Mary, and he stalked her to the turn. He was always at Zepedo, but Every time he asked her for that little bit more of an effort, she really picked up and followed Sweet Mary into the race, and with that stalking run, she was too good in the end. Her Empire followed the speed, had to wait for that rails run to open up. I thought she did a good job. Sweet Mary bouncing off that win at Caston, and where she was super. I thought she did a super job again yesterday. Three deep, close to the speed. It was only late that they were able to sort of get past her. And then I thought there were a host of good runs in behind. La Rock, one of the McArdle runners, and Tycoon Hummer. I think La Rock was probably better of the pair, but nonetheless, I think John will be pretty pleased with the way they've come back to the races. And the Robbie Griffiths runner, Catalana Blue, got a bad squeeze at the start, forced out the back, stayed in on the turn. I thought her work was pretty good at the back end of the race, conceding she did only have 51 on her back and getting back, but I thought she did a good enough job. But a really good ride here from Ollie. He knew who he wanted to be on the back of, and he executed it perfectly.
And the race fit horse getting the prize, there was a number of horses that were first up, Dean.
Yeah, they were, Dan, and that was a key element. But Brendan's touched on the key element of the race was that Sweet Mary just got a little bit of a bump after about 200 metres there and was three wide, and Damien Oliver quickly seized on that opportunity to angle onto the back of Sweet Mary. It's really terrific vision on racing.com's on the steward's vision. You can see that he's just single-minded about where he wants to be and got into that beautiful spot, and from there she was able to go on and win. As we've seen all season with this group of two-year-olds, the Colts have been faster than the fillies. And again, yesterday, even though these are the returning now early season three-year-olds, the Colts still ran faster than the fillies. But Zapateo did a good job. Her empire just got held up for a stride or two on the inside, but battled on really well. LaRocque was the best run from the back, with improvement to come. Filly like Frost Flowers, I don't know where she's at. To me, she didn't look like she's grown much at all, and she seems a bit of a one-trick pony at this stage. So, back to the drawing board a bit with her.
Yeah, she was a little filly to begin with. Duchy of Savoy looked like didn't have the best of luck. She hit the line pretty well with LaRocque, who was outside of her late.
Yeah, I think Duchy of Savoy, she'd only had the short time between runs, about 6 weeks from that run in Sydney, so presented with a little bit more race fitness, but as you said, held up at a crucial stage when the winner and Sweet Mary were building momentum. She just had to come off the heels of Mirror Mirror, and I thought she went to the line well. Probably shaping like she's more 1,400 metre horse minimum at this stage.
Race three was the Brompton Handicap over the mile, and the favourites, High Stranger and No Effort, fought it out.
It's striding up on its outside, and they're stride for stride. No Effort takes the lead. High Stranger's coming into it boldly, and then Starcaster Al Ghulail as they turn. No Effort went to the front. High Stranger cantered up on the outside now and quickly raced to the front. Around the bend, High Stranger takes the lead away from No Effort, who comes back. Then further back in the field, Al Ghulail, Starcaster, High Stranger in front. No Effort's giving plenty back on the fence, but High Stranger's too good. Races for home near the judge and goes on to win a length and a half. Second to No Effort. Third Starcaster, then High Emotion, a good run.
And the race fit Inform horses fighting out the finish there. I think we're due as the other race fit horse, but it pulled up lame. It will need a veterinary clearance before it runs again. We had a lot of first uppers in the race, considering it was over a mile, but it was the Inform horses to the fore there, Dean.
It was, Dan, that High Stranger was... He's just a really good, honest horse. He had a beautiful run yesterday. It wasn't a high-pressure race, which I think really suits him at the mile. Reedy's going to be tried over further, which will be another challenge for him, but this stage, that was perfect for him. And No Effort with the race fitness. I thought Starcaster did more than enough first up. High Emotion, terrific return. I thought with the run he had, Al Ghulail might have kicked on a bit more, but he's such a big gross horse. Maybe he needed that day at the races. But, the race fit High Strain and No Effort were certainly to the fore.
And Northwest Passage was a pretty good run. You mentioned Al Ghulail. He's done a good job to get in front of him, Northwest Passage. We know him as a stayer. Who knows, maybe even as a jumper, but that wasn't a bad return.
Yeah, it was good. He went really well. He's a horse that he won a Tawny Knight Cup early in his career, so he does handle a valley well and has been in the wilderness for a fair while, but that was at least an encouraging return. But it was a good tempo race for these horses first up to build off, because they didn't go overly hard. Then the race fit horses kicked into gear, and we saw the likes of Starcaster, Northwest Passage, High Emotion all work through the line.
And we'll be better as they all get up in trip. Brendan, how did you see this race with High Stranger, who'd been pretty much knocking on the door right through this preparation?
Yeah, he's just a lovely horse, and I'm sure everyone would love one of him. 1,100 metres up to 1,600 metres. Not sure if he'll be able to be as effective if they do want to push out over further. He's going to need a similar scenario to how the race was run yesterday, a pretty soft run, close to a soft enough speed, but everything just panned out perfectly there for him yesterday. 1-1, he cantered into it on the turn like he was going to be the winner. No Effort's in good form, but I think High Stranger might just have a little bit on on her ability. Why Starcaster was perfect. He was really well behaved for Starcaster. I think wherever Starcaster goes, they've got to make sure they get Jamie Carr for him, because we know she's a key to a lot of horses, but she's definitely the key to this guy. He's had a lend of a few of the boys, but Jamie just gets on with him so well, and wherever he goes, she needs to be on his back. You would think that maybe they might be a little bit disappointed, Mar Eustace, with the run of El Galeo. Dean did mention that he's a big boy and he's going to take a couple of runs just to get him fit, but the way High Emotion and Northwest Passage went past him late, you think they might be a little bit disappointed, and I know it's silly to say, but thankfully there's something wrong with the Think We're Due, because that was too bad to be true, just the way he dropped out after the run he had. He did do a little bit of work to get across to the lead, but he dropped out a little bit tamely. But High Stranger was good. Northwest Passage was a good run, but I'd like to see him win. What is it, 1,605 days since he won that Tawny Cup? That was his last win, so maybe we need to see him knock one over before we back him again. But Starcaster has definitely come back well.
Actow, where's he at? That was first up, obviously, but a horse that was high up in Melbourne Cup and Caulfield Cup betting last year. He didn't seem to do much, but he was first up.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't expect him for a couple more runs yet, Dan. And I think the key to him is that, you know, he overraced badly, of course, in that Turnbull Stakes and then was injured. And I think they'll be just working on getting him to really settle, chill out, and then try and build his preparation after that injury-enforced layoff.
Race number four, and this was the Mirror Sand Handicap. They might look at this race going forward and potentially rename it the Mahamadeus Plate.
Race on as they come towards the bend. Larker Steel in front, not for long. Buckhurst went past it. Nudge Bar under the pump running on. Deeper out, Pancho. Salsamore needs a run from Mahamadeus. And then came Bedford. It's Buckhurst in front. Pancho and Salsamore running on. Very wide out, Bedford as they turn. Pancho's going up to Buckhurst as they straighten. Then came running into it, Salsamore with Mahamadeus and Bedford. Bedford's coming down the outside with Mahamadeus after Pancho. Pancho in front. Mahamadeus pegs him back. Mahamadeus lunging at Pancho. Mahamadeus got there in the last stride, nose to Pancho in a photo. Third, Bedford, Salsamore, Buckhurst. A long way.
Mahamadeus won the same race 12 months ago, the Mirror Sand Handicap, and he seemed to know exactly where that post was, Brendan.
Certainly did. A little bit of speed in the race is something that he likes, and somewhat of a truer staying test, although it only being at the 2,000 metres, really played into his hands. And you knew when he got up alongside Pancho, you thought Pancho was probably going to be a little bit suspect at the back end of a solid enough 2,000, and the fact that he had over-raced, and Mahamadeus with some weight relief, good tempo, Fred Kersley executed well. Pancho back in the field, thought 2,000 was probably his upper limit, and the way that he sort of tugged into at the back end of the race after Craig wanted to go forward, thought that might dull his finish a bit, but he's run a really good race. Bedford good from the back. Salsamore was okay. Buckhurst, glad to see there's something in the stewards' report for him there. He was conceding weight, but on the form that he had shown us in the feature races last spring, the way he was travelling on the turn, you thought that it was his race for the keeping, and that there is an issue there. Is probably a little bit better to cope the way how he dropped out. When you think Pancho and Mahamadeus have put a big space on him late, then the pair that went out, well, La Castile just went out too hard. I think that's the last time we've seen her. And Nudge Bar had been racing better, but in weaker grade. But Mahamadeus had been ticking along okay. Was just wondering if the long preparation had come to an end, but he needed speed, and that's what he got yesterday.
Yeah, he's an amazing horse, isn't he? Buckhurst pulled up lame. He travelled well, it seemed, up to the turn, to the 300 metres, but he was lame. And Nudge Bar, cardiac arrhythmia, so perhaps an excuse for Nudge Bar there. It's just, what a horse. I mean, wouldn't everybody just love to have a horse like Mahamadeus, Dean?
Yeah, he's a beauty, Dan. And as I said when we first started, it just comes down to the scenario of races. When they run the first part of the race above standard time, he's in the finish. These last four runs before yesterday. They've been running well below standard and very steady, and that hasn't suited him. He overraced badly last week, but yesterday with the surprise leader, La Castile, I know it's being retired, but there was no mention of it going forward, and went forward. It's never gone so fast in its life. it just made it a different tempo altogether, and probably actually for a horse like Buckhurst, who was first up at 2,040 metres, didn't help him a great deal either, but it really played into Muhammad Ayes's hands, and did have 4.5 kilos less in this race than he did last year, so he was pretty well suited if you know you knew he was going to get that scenario. As Brendan said, Pancho, I think he probably ticked the box at 2,000 metres yesterday because it was a solidly run race, and he battled on well, and Bedford, yeah, he was probably playing for the rain, and the rain didn't come. He ran quite well, but yeah, he's a beauty, Muhammad Ayes. You just got to get the circumstance right, and I didn't see the speed that La Castile was going to show in the pre-race anyway.
Selsomore looked like it was building some momentum, and the door closed a couple of times on it from about the 400.
Yeah, it's something that probably he can't afford to have either, Dan. So he ran okay, and they announced the intent to ride him more positively yesterday, and they probably got a shock that they had company there. I think they probably would have thought Buckhurst to be there, but maybe not La Castile. But anyway, he ran quite well, but sort of more of a rolling sort of horse. So as you said, being stopped and started wasn't absolutely ideal for him.
Well, two of the more exciting horses that probably went into the meeting, but certainly came out of the meeting, fought out the finish of race five.
A bunch up coming towards the bend. Demando moving up to Barragunda. Tuvalu's on the scene, commencing to move up and make a line of three. I'm Thunderstruck's coming around the field at a great rate. He's moving after Tuvalu and Barragunda as they turn. Then Demando and making ground also Rathlin. Tuvalu in front. I'm Thunderstruck. Hills, Bells. He raced straight past them at the 200. He raced away from Tuvalu. Then came Barragunda. It's I'm Thunderstruck in front. He's getting a little bit weary near the post. Tuvalu's coming back, but I'm Thunderstruck beating him a neck. I'm Thunderstruck from Tuvalu, and they smash the others. Signers Express third from Barragunda.
Strength of the race here, Dean, is that we saw these two horses at Flemington, and while Tuvalu's got a lot closer, horse that had won two metropolitan races, Signers Express, has ended up a further five lengths behind them.
Yeah, exactly right, Dan. It's a really good barometer of what we were hoping for yesterday, because they were the two going in that had the real upside. They've recorded very good figures. It was just an even speed, but they built, and then they've really sprinted home hard. And I'm Thunderstruck, thanks to Daily Sectional Times, best last 400 of the meeting, second best last 200. Tuvalu, fifth best last 400 of the meeting, fourth best last 200. So they really did surge from about the 600 really, and put on a really good show. And on Thunderstruck's got the better of Tuvalu, but they're both really nice horses, and he'll need to have the better of him with the missions ahead of him going towards a race like the Golden Eagle.
Great Diviner, the South Australian, pulled up with a throat abnormality. So Dean, they're horses that will get to black type and group grade.
I would think so, Dan. I think you see that Signers Express is nearly the top of the class in the usual off-season winter. He won the Silver Bowl and those sort of races. These are the horses that can actually elevate right out of winter grade and progress on. So, it looked an exciting race on paper. It unfolded exactly how we probably thought, Tuvalu having the lead on Thunderstruck, but on Thunderstruck's turn of foot and his ability to do it around a turn really won me over yesterday, because a couple of times at Caulfield he's looked a bit awkward around the turn, around the tighter track, but yesterday when he had to get the job done, he did get it done.
Yeah, well, that's where his two defeats have come from, haven't they, at Caulfield. Brendan, what were your thoughts on the race?
He was super on Thunderstruck. It was almost a Mooney Valley of old. We were seeing Mooney Valley play the leaders a lot of late, and a sweeping run from beyond midfield. He was really good there on Thunderstruck. The way he moved into the race, I was with Dean. I was concerned about how he was going to get around that turn, but he handled it perfectly. I know the camber's there to help him, and it's a sweeping bend compared to Caulfield, but the way he got around it and accelerated, he was good. I thought Tuvalu was equally as brave on the inside. It looked as though On Thunderstruck was going to go past him, but he really stuck to his guns, and I think there's going to be something for him this preparation. Signers Express beaten 5.3. I think you can cut that in half if he gets clear run. He was back on the fence, and when the first two over the line were really building momentum, Alana Kelly was stuck with her hands in her lap and nowhere to go, and I thought his last 100 was really good. He holds that winter form, and I think it was probably a bit unfair to him yesterday. I think he should have been a little bit closer to the first two and putting a little bit more of a gap on the horses behind him.
Two exciting horses going forward, taking out or running the Crowler in race 5 for the second time in a row, but in the same order. I'm Thunderstruck from Tuvalu. Race 6, this was for the mares. It looked a pretty open race. Shane Nichols can find a pretty good horse, and So You Assume is a mare in very good form. She ended up bolting in.
Not travelling well. Liali to the bend first, So You Assume moving up on level terms. Three out horse for hire, Betcha flying under pressure. Why Choose Her running on, White Hibiscus, Nordic Symphony getting right up behind them, and wider out is Florent. Godeline's got nowhere to go as they turn. So You Assume rocketed for home, raced away from Liali, horse for hire, Betcha flying. White Hibiscus, Godeline still not out, but So You Assume's home at the 100, raced away, three lengths, four lengths in front, and storms to victory from horse for hire. Third, Nordic Symphony from Liali. Go to Lean, just no luck. They were full of...
Yeah, a few hard luck stories there. That was certainly one of them, Go to Lean. But to be fair, So You Assume, Brendan, she can make her own luck. And gee, she handled that home turn like a greyhound.
She certainly did, but she's built for it. She's only a tiny little thing. She was really good there yesterday. Yendo was happy to relent the lead to Liali. Race dominated by those horses close to the pace. Five of the first six over the line were in that first five in settling. The exception was Godeline, that probably should have maybe beaten them, if not finished much, much closer than her 4.5 off the winner. She's good, So You Assume. Handy to the speed. It's always good to have a horse that can be up there and close, and she can accelerate at the back end. Horse for hire. Dan O'Sullivan's team's flying at the moment. He's sending horses out at big prices, and they're racing out of their grade, and they're running really, really well. Winning at the provincials, but just not winning in town, but they're getting really close. He's doing a really good job at the moment. Nordic Symphony had the run in behind, probably would have liked to get off Liali's heels a little bit sooner. Godeline, Terry summed it up there in the call. She just needed to get out a lot earlier than she did. Liali are disappointing, and I thought Betcha Flying probably had the run of the race, one out and two back, with Tom Stockdale being able to make the move whenever he wanted, but with So You Assume skimming along the rail, it was going to be hard for her to make that ground up. Winner was good, but Godeline, I think, made her way into many black books off her run there yesterday.
Dean, your thoughts?
Dan, it came down to tempo of the race here. They went very, very steady. Liali, when she finds the front in these 1600 metre races, she can't run a mile, so they try and go as steady as they can, and the others followed suit. So it was beautiful riding by Yendall. He knew he had a horse with a really good turn of foot, to the extent she ran the second best last 400 and 200 of the meeting, and she just kicked away. Horse for hire came through and ran well. As Brendan said, these horses are running well in higher grades at good prices for Dan O'Sullivan. Nordic Symphony, I think the rain not coming through the day certainly helped her, and she cut through closer to the inside in the race. We had to do that and go to lean. Well, yeah, she did. She ran the best last 200 of the meeting, but the horse had bolted. Betcha Flying, she is a... basically a non-winner, but she is a horse that likes high-pressure races. She got that two starts back when she ran really well to Scottish Dancer yesterday. The sit-and-sprint scenario is the worst possible scenario for her, and she ran okay, but yeah, she needs everything to go right to win. Back in the field, I'd be very forgiving of a horse like Silver Lake, who mid-race, when they really jammed on the brakes at about the 1,000, she got shunted out wide with changing tracks, but she actually regrouped, and her late sections were okay. I think had the rain come, she'd have run a lot better too, Silver Lake.
Yeah, ended up four wide for the rest of the race after being speared off the track. The other one that looked a better run and possibly would have run a place if it got that clear running in the straight was Kiss and Cry.
Yeah, and building to something over further, and her sectional times show what you say, Dan, about her being slowed late in the race. She ran the 7th best 600 of the meeting, the 6th best 400, and the 17th best last 200. So she actually had to grab hold, and she didn't get a chance to really stretch out late. So yeah, I think she's looking for 2,000. She's ticking over okay.
And Brendan, just to wrap up in this race, two other horses worth getting comments about. Why choose her? 1600 metres, question mark. And the other is White Hibiscus, question mark, question mark.
Yeah, a couple of question marks there. Why choose her back in behind and was able to get off the fence there and got up behind the leaders. Don't think she really had the clear air that she might have liked. And White Hibiscus, off the speed. Speed was against her, was okay late, but probably need to see again. But happy to probably leave the question marks next to them until we see them produce.
Dean, you got the right of reply there, just in case Brendan or myself were being a little bit unfair to those two.
No, you can have White Hibiscus. I think her pre-race antics don't help her sometimes. She needs the right sort of speed. That wasn't the right tempo of race, but a bit like what I was saying with Betcha Flying, they need everything to go right to win. And why choose her? I don't know. Last week, not a lot of luck. Shot up in the weights and up in distance on a 7-day backup. So there's a few variables there against her, but jury out on her. But with a horse like White Hibiscus, you need to know that she's got a lot in her favour for her to win another race.
Staying race was race 7, and this was a terrific win for a horse stepping up to the longer trip, Smoke and Romans.
On the bend, Smoke and Romans going up to Tabby Run. They race to the front together. Maserati Bay needs galloping room, and outside of him is King's Full. They turn the bend. Smoke and Romans takes the lead now. Had his first go at 2,500 metres. He races away from Tabby Run, Maserati Bay, and further out on the track, Heir to the Throne running on, but Smoke and Romans is powering the victory. Smoke and Romans away with the prize. Bolted it in from Tavi Run, Prince Albie third, and then behind those runners is Crimson Ace in a photo with King's Full, Heir to the Throne wide out.
Back. Gee, it was a great charge down the side the first time at about the 500 metre mark the first time. There was 9 across the track, Dean. Did it remind you of any race in the past?
You're probably referring to the Cox Plate. That'll be about where it ends with the Maccabi Diva Cox Plate, Dan. But a very, very gentle tempo. And what Jamie Carr did early was just beautiful riding in that she was happy to be 4 wide around the first turn and then just gradually creep across with Tavi Run. They went a very gentle speed. It was very gentle, about the 500 really for a staying race. And she was in the right spot. Tavi Run also was. That's about where he's at now. He had that really halcyon preparation a couple of years ago where he was burning to the front and running them ragged. He just can't seem to do that anymore, but he ran honestly. I thought Prince Albie ran well. These long distance races suits him. I liked Heir to the Throne. I think Andrea Leek's got him going really well. Probably would have loved a bit more tempo in the race, and he ran quite well. Pretty bunch finish behind them, but Smoke and Romans, I think he's been a remarkable horse because I think yesterday on the panel I said I thought he battled to run 1600 a year ago, and now here he is winning at 2500.
And giving the impression he'd get 2 miles, he was pretty strong through the line too. And the ability for Jamie to press forward, like you said, it might have been a gentle tempo, but she drew the outside gate. So it could easily have turned pear-shaped, considering he was 9 wide for the first 400 metres before that turn come up. So maybe the more progressive stayer in that race was the winner.
Yeah, I think so. And the other thing is that, the point with Jamie was she just did it so gently. And even if he'd gone around the next turn a little bit wider, he hadn't spent a lot of petrol because he wasn't being pushed or pulled back. He was just building into his own rhythm. And that's so important in these staying races.
Well, Jamie's two winners on the day were the two shorter-priced favourites that scored on the day. Of course, Jigsaw started short but was beaten. So Jamie, once again, the punter's pal. And he looked like he had the race won before the home turn, Brendan.
Yeah, certainly did. Staying race is probably a, you could use that term loosely for this. There wasn't much staying about it. It's just another staying race run in Melbourne where they walk. I don't know, Dan, we might have to bring something in like they do in the trots where the first half of the last mile has to be run at that, a certain speed to ensure no one's getting in trouble and we're getting a genuine tempo, because it was just a walking race. Tavi run much better without the blinkers. Smoke and Romans, with the way the race set up and how easily Jamie got to the breeze, was entitled to win. Prince Albie, he was probably one that got on his bike at the 800 just before that sprint went on at the 600, so he had his momentum built coming to the turn and was able to run it out pretty well. He was a bit plain there at Cranbourne, but once he gets out to 24 and beyond, he's quite competitive in this great air to the Thrones, ticking along beautifully, as Dean touched on. King's Fall was forced on that wide move, battled on okay. Crimson Ace was three deep the trip over 2,500 metres, only beaten two and a half lengths, and was dropping off coming to the turn, but that was just when the speed went into the race, just couldn't quicken with them, and has boxed on okay. Prince Ziggy got out sprinted. Tolmacher, forget Pissarro, needs a stronger gallop than what we've seen there yesterday, but first two across the line were entitled to run there with how slow they went.
Dean, with that in mind, the slow tempo, horses like King's Fall and Crimson Ace, who did cover ground, particularly Crimson Ace throughout, King's Fall for about the last half of the race, are they able to hang on longer because they don't go at a genuine staying clip? Are they runs that we can black book because they did cover ground, or is it less of a back me next start type of run because there wasn't a lot of speed on?
Yeah, I don't think there's as much penalty there involved, Dan, at all. And with a horse like King's Fall, he'd been actually rolling along at good speeds of late, so maybe they missed a bit of a trick not doing that yesterday. Crimson Ace is going well, but she just doesn't win very often. It was certainly not as big a penalty in that race. And as Brendan said, say with a horse like Prince Albie, taking off and making an early move was probably a good thing to build the revs up in a slowly run staying race.
Well, race number 8, it was the Congratulations Jamie Carr Handicap. Jamie was riding one of the favourites, Red Santa.
It's Mr. Pickwick coming to the bend, 450 out, leading the way. Red Santa wide out, going up with Cafe Rizzou to go after the leader. Then Flossing getting into it, and Uniquely's coming around the field, pinching a run on the inside. Then as they turn 10-10, when they're homeward bound, Mr. Pickwick, the front runner, Red Santa a half length away, going after it. In third, Cafe Rizzou, Mr. Pickwick packing plenty of power. Red Santa can't get to him at the moment. Mr. Pickwick in front, and Mr. Pickwick goes all the way in the famous colours. Goes on to win from a photo between Cafe Rizzou and Red Santa. Behind those four links away, Flossing, Seb Song.
Famous colours, the red with the white cap, of course, tie the knot, perhaps the most famous of quite a line of famous horses to have carried them. One at Warwicknabeal last start, taking all the shortcuts yesterday, up on pace, Brendan. He had a terrific kick, but was it a bit of a surprise to see him and the intent to be on pace?
Bit of a surprise to see him up there, but this is the first time we've seen him up around this trip. So Warwicknabeal, he had the 62, so probably a conservative ride there, and waiting for his chance over a little bit further. But he seemed to really enjoy himself up on the speed, and T.O. did a fabulous job with him, and they just left him alone, maybe hoping that he would come back to them. But he was just able to use the lightweight, roll along at steady fractions, and he had plenty left to give at the top of the straight. I thought Red Sander was a good effort, covered ground from the 1200. He was without cover. He had cover along the side up towards the 1200, but then left without cover into what was a bit of a breeze there yesterday. And he had his chance to build his momentum and go out after the leader. Couldn't really mean. I thought Cafe Rizzou was good, close to the speed. A much better run from her. Flossing grounded out okay. Literati probably would have liked a little bit more room and didn't get it, and maybe a bit more of a gallop, and Seb Song, Capricorn Ridge, couple of unlucky runners back in the field, and another one of Dan O'Sullivan's running well at a big price Uniquely. He was a long way back and took a lot of ground off them late, but definitely Seb Song, Capricorn Ridge would have liked some clearer air and a bit stronger tempo, but T.O. Nugent grabbed the race by the scruff of the neck, and they just let him roll how he was comfortable, and he had too much in the locker late.
Sheila Jeep pulled up lame, thought Literati was a bit of an equine keno ball from about the 500 metres. He got tossed around a little bit. Dean, we've talked about these middle distance staying races for the three-year-olds right through the pretty much the autumn and the winter, and I don't think there's been a horse that's won two of them in a row. So where do they sort of sit? We look at this as a Saturday class race, and it's what's going around at the moment, but last year we had a horse like Per San who just dominated all the way through, but they've all been seemingly taking turns this time.
Yeah, but he was beating, say, Sign, Seal, Deliver, and we see 12 months on where he is. Like, he's a midweek standard horse. So Per San, as you said, was able to string them together because he was better than them. These are pretty evenly graded horses, and I think, maybe in summer, if they're lucky enough, they can get back to Saturday grade, but more midweek standard horses. But a really good bonus win for Mr. Pickwick yesterday. But this was an outstanding ride because... it was probably a foreign spot for the horse to be in, but T.O. Nugent just rolled with it and went with it. And then I think he set up such a lead in the run that gave the other riders a bit of a false sense of security that he'll come back. But between the 800 and the 400, he actually rested and they didn't do a lot of catching up. So off he went again and kept going. So it was beautiful riding. Red Sander tried to get into the race, ran well. Cafe Razou closer in the run, battled on okay. But those back in the field, Capricorn Ridge, Seb Song, Golden Fourth, Namaqua, all had very little chance and got in terrible spots just because of the way the race was run. But I think T.O. Nugent's initiative here, when probably faced with the scenario that, you know, going to the post the first time he didn't think he'd be in, I thought he made the best of it, absolutely.
Okay, the last on the program. This was over the 1,200 metres. Lady Pluck was a late scratching just prior to the race. Well, taken out mid-afternoon, in fact, 3:22. And she was found to be lame, so we'll need a veterinary clearance. So the last on the card, punters put a bit of faith into the top weight.
On for home, Rock Tycoon's moved up to Imperial Lad and put his nose in front. Montenegro Man from a minute back in the field, but Rock Tycoon is just in front of Imperial Lad coming back. Then Rock in the Park, Rock Tycoon in front. Imperial Lad's kicking. Imperial Lad, Rock Tycoon, Imperial Lad. Oh! Imperial Lad and nose Rock Tycoon, but I could be wrong. Third Rock in the Park from Minyinga, and close up Melodeon flashing from Rolls.
Talking about rides, and particularly from apprentices, T.O. Nugent and Alana Kelly, it looked like Rock Tycoon had Imperial Lad cold on the turn, but when you look back at the replay, Alana, she just didn't panic, did she?
No, she didn't, Dan, and was able to get a very soft lead. I mean, when you try and envisage what's going to happen pre-race, it looked like Imperial Lad would probably lead Rock Tycoon, but I expected maybe one of the horses from out wide, whether it be Mr. Cancun or Montenegro Man or one of those, to take a bit of a chance because there was an option, but ultimately they didn't. So these two leaders got a very, very easy run, and that's why the race set up as it did. You could tell, 500 or 600 metres out, it was either going to be those two or maybe Rock in the Park from behind them, but the rest had way too much to do. And, as you said, Alana didn't panic, kept her horse balanced, and then drove to the line and was able to get Rock Tycoon and fight back and win. And Rock in the Park ran well. Wilmot Pass ran well, even back in the field. Mr. Cancun Melodeon did enough, but this was certainly came down to the tempo of the race and a really good example of it because you could tell a long way out they weren't going to be beaten the first two in running.
John Allen on Rolls, he looked like he tried to sum up the situation and go forward, but Rolls just got trapped out on a limit. It probably wasn't a bad run and had that form line through Imperial Lad, Dean.
Yeah, he ran okay, Dan. Probably what we were saying about with the staying race earlier, it's not as big a penalty covering ground in a slightly run race, but it was still a little bit, and he ran okay. And as you said, his form tied in with the winner, so he was a fair run. And we've got to remember, this was a benchmark 70, and we're not going to see many benchmark 70s at Saturday grade now as we go into spring.
Well, we will see Alana Kelly quite often. She's won the last race on a number of occasions, has had regular city winners over the last month, and she is one shining light, I think, that's come through the riding ranks throughout the winter, Brendan.
Most certainly, and Maddie Lloyd to boot, two of the young ladies we're going to be seeing, well, plenty of in the coming years, and maybe their opportunities might dry up as the races start to heat up a bit, but through the summer months, and you would think at Moonee Valley under the lights, there's going to be plenty of trainers wanting to take advantage of these young ladies' 3 kilo claims. Imperial Lad, Rock Tycoon, pretty similar situation to the previous race, although over half the trip where they were just happy to let the front two go, and they were happy to take up the opportunity. Imperial Lad, really tough. Rock Tycoon looked like he had him. I thought Rock in the Park was solid enough with the 61 coming through near the inside. Wilmot Pass again, okay. Rolls, Dan, from previous experience, probably not one you want to get stuck into following. He's a good heartbreaker, is Rolls. And then Melodian's the one that I think there's a mare's race at Moonee Valley in a month's time. She might be right for that if she doesn't have to have one in between. She had no luck back in the field, ducking and diving through, and she's quite effective there, but there might be a midweek opportunity for her somewhere along the line.
Yeah, slow speed would definitely work against her, but she did work to the line pretty well in that. So Imperial Lad taking up the last, ended up starting the $4.50 favourite for the race. Yeah, it started favourite just ahead of Wilmot Pass. So that's the look at the Moonee Valley program. We're going to take a break. We're going to have a look at the Lightning Stakes in Adelaide. It looks like South Australia's unearthed another star sprinter. And also we've got our horses to follow, runs of the day, and we might even have a little bit of a look at the day ahead at Sandown.
Estelar Rossa, Bo Rossa's cruising up in behind. Estelar Rocker, Bo Rossa's showing a touch of class. Maha Zushine, then Dirty Thoughts and Parlophone. But Bo Rossa swept to the lead. Could this be a defining moment for Todd Pennell? Bo Rossa strikes in the lightning. Bo Rossa by 2 lengths to Parlophone. Estelar Rocker, Maha Nali.
She was a heavy 10 by this stage, but that was as impressive a heavy track performance as you could see. Adelaide have got a terrific history, particularly recently, of getting some star sprinters. And this race, Dean, I'll go to you first, has produced the likes of Nature Strip and Vedora winning this race and then going on, obviously, to Group 1 success. Don't want to get too far ahead, but he's a very nice horse, Bo Rossa.
He is, Dan, and he was. Yeah, if you thought he would handle the ground yesterday, he was an incredible price because he had such a huge class edge on that field, having won the Euclides only a couple of months ago. And I think going on the handicapper's ratings going into yesterday's race, he was a rating 90, and at set weights, I think the nearest to him was a 77 in Larimer Street, and we sort of know his level. So he only had to handle the ground, and he should have been able to take care of that field, and he did. We've seen him here. He had that throw up the stumps at the Super Vobis Sires Guineas over 1600, and he nearly won, and then came back to 1200 and won, or what they call now the Tobin Bronze at Group 2 level. So he's a very capable horse. I don't know where he fits in. Is he maybe a Rupert Clark horse or something like that? But he's now won half of his race starts for Will Clarkin, won 5 of 10, and he's a very good talent.
Yeah, and obviously they tried him at a mile last prep and he got beaten in one of the Vobis races when I think the whole world was on him. So not saying that he doesn't tick that 1600 box yet, but he's proven his worth as a sprinter, hasn't he, particularly around the 1200.
Yeah, it was a very rushed prep into that. He went 1300 at Sandown. That's when everyone took note of him winning by 7 lengths and running really smart time. And then, the mile very on a quick backup. He handled it, pretty well. He nearly won, but I think he's a very progressive horse. And I just love the way he travels into a race. He got beautiful action, yeah. And yesterday that really helped him get through that ground as well.
Yeah, he certainly did. Parlophone couldn't quite go back-to-back, but she was terrific. She's found some form. Estella Rocker, I guess, ran up to her expectations. Heavy 10 track. I mean, often we don't get those sort of tracks replicated unless they're at the same venue in the same preparation, Dean.
No, that's right, Dan. It was an unusual heavy 10 too, because it was a track where the inside stood up really well, and even right to the last race, the last two winners with Bo Rosser and Extra Mile both drawing barrier one, barrier three for He's a Bolter, and barrier one for Classy Joe. You don't often see that on really heavy testing ground, that the inside holds up so well.
Brendan, how did you critique the Lightning?
Gee, you wouldn't mind some rain following in Bo Rosser wherever he goes. We know he's adept on dry ground, but he went through the heavy there yesterday like he was built for it. He was very good. Nice to see Parlophone running some nice races. Esther LaRocca did a good job up on the speed, and probably just too wet in the end for Dirty Thoughts up there on the outside. Looked like her wheel spun a bit after a good first up run, but Bo Rosser, gee, was hard not to be impressed with him there yesterday, and you would think he's going to come across here and be not too far away in whatever he can test, particularly after how we've seen him. If we do have a wet spring, if he could find a couple of wet tracks the way he got through them yesterday, he'll be even more in contention.
Well, he hadn't been on a track worse than a soft five. He'd been on two of those, and one was a win. So there was a big query with him, but I don't think anyone's ever going to query it again. He could go on a heavy 13 in New Zealand, and I think he'll start an odds-on favourite. Will Clarkin trains Bo Rosser. He can get a pretty handy horse. The premierships were decided. Michael Hickmont won the trainer's title, but with that win, Todd Pannell was able to claim the jockey's title. Dean, he ended up winning it on countback. He had more seconds than Jess Eaton, so that was a real nail-biter. Jess went in with one of the favourites in the last race and just couldn't quite get the job done, but an extraordinary stat for Todd Pannell. He's 63 wins. All bar one of them were at 55.5 kilos or above.
Yeah, well, that's obviously his limit, Dan. So he's got to play to what he does, and he does it very well. In saying that, Jess Eaton did have that fall at the start of the carnival over there in Adelaide and missed, what, 3 or 4 weeks. So she's had an amazing season, and to start the season as a claiming apprentice and all but win the title, and good riders chasing with Jason Holder, Baron Vorster, to Kayla Crowther, another good year, nearly 100 winners for the season for her South Australian wide. So, Todd Pannell winning another premiership.
On countback from Jess Eden, and a very exciting day, albeit a heavy 10 at Morpheville yesterday. Well, now it's time for Brendan and Dean's Horses to Follow and Run of the Day.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the Run of the Day and the Horses to Follow.
Brendan, you'll be taking the morning through until midday today. Plenty to get through with some really good race meetings. But what were your highlights with your horse to follow and run of the day yesterday?
Run of the day, going to go with On Thunderstruck. He ticked that Mooney Valley box of getting around the turn and winning well. I think he was the highlight there yesterday. Horse to follow, going to go Starcast. I thought there was a really good return yesterday, but with an asterisk next to him, if it's not Jay Carr in the saddle, be happy maybe to take him on. But if Jamie's riding him second up, I think he can win.
Okay, Dean?
I'm agreeing with On Thunderstruck. I thought that was the race with the most progression for the day, and Tuvalu certainly ran very well also. And I'm going back to the first race for the horse to follow. I think Montana Flash, I think 1,200 on a bigger track. We'll see probably him get into the winner's stall for the Team Hawks Yard.
Okay, we've got racing at Donnell today and, of course, at Sandown. Dean, do you like anything at either of the two venues?
I haven't looked at Donald, unfortunately, Dan, but I'm going to Sandown Lakeside, and I just think race 3, number 5, Invincible Jet's been trialling up really well for the Waterhouse Yard. You know that they have their horses ready to go early in a preparation, and Rail True, Sandown Lakeside on non-pace runner, I think it ticks a lot of boxes, race 3, number 5, Invincible Jet.
Yep, so a duck at Donald, nothing there. What about you, yeah. Brendan?
Been through Sandown, really looking forward to the jumps races. I think the crisp steeplechase, there's only six in it, but you could have four picks and probably miss the winner. A Blaze, bit of a lad, flying agent, Big Blue, Social Element, riding high. That's probably as good a field of chases as we can assemble here at the moment. And it's going to be a really good lead up to the national. Bit of a lad's got to hold his form after being up since the ball, but then horses like A Blaze, Big Blue and Social Element really hitting their peak with one run before the national in at the end of this month, and the two hurdles are really good. We've got some potential superstars of jumping going around. Saunter Boy, Mwani Machine, all there, and Light Pillar's been really good, and really interesting to see how Big Blue Will John takes a step up to the open company in the national hurdle.
Early start to 11:45. Dean, the national, Ma Eustace have got the top three in the market. What's your tip between Saunter Boy, Norway and Will John? And by all means, if you've got something outside of that, let us know.
Oh, I haven't. I think Nafa Hayes the next best. Look, I'll probably follow Steve Pateman in and go with Saunter Boy. I'm excited by what Norway, how he improved from his first to his second run, and Will John's such a strong stayer. So, gee, it's a fantastic clash. And as you said, the crisp is an amazing race, but the national will be a beauty. I'll lean to Saunter Boy, but the Kieran Maher bundle bet might be the go, Dan.
I realise that the setting up, yeah, it might be at $1.01.
Yes.
Realise the setting up of the steeplechase fences takes a bit of time, but that is as good a steeplechase field as I've seen for a long time. My wish that it wasn't hidden away at 11:45. It should be front end a centre, because that is an absolute cracker. What a way to start off the race meeting.
Yeah, it certainly is. And as you said, in years gone by, they used to just put the bigger tops onto the hurdles, but now they're a different fence as opposed to the new hurdles that we've used this season really well too, I might add. But it is a shame it's the first, but what a way to start the day.
Next week, Ori Star Handicap. That's getting pretty exciting. That means we're getting really close to spring. So Warren will be back next week. I was merely warming the chair for him. Warren Huntley back next week. Dean, thank you. Good luck today.
Thank you, Dan.
And Brendan, I'm officially handing the baton over, and you're welcome to take it through until at least the first race at Sandown today. I hope you have a good morning, and thanks again for your part in the review section of Correct Weight.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Got a busy couple of hours coming up.
Lots to look forward to. Enjoy your day, everyone.